Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Because he's a terrible left fielder who wasn't hitting either. That was a joke.
All right, well, my bad. But you guys are right about one thing. I think the series was cursed, and the curse was Dusty Baker. Because game two, if Worth is in left field, that ball never drops in.
Of course.
The next day, I mean, some of the moves he made were beyond ridiculous as well. Why does he replace Worth with Goodwin in the late innings if Worth, the 226 hitter, is a capable outfielder? And then why does he take, you're up five runs in the eighth inning, why does Goodwin get pinch hit for at that point when all you need is the best defender in left field? So he puts in a defense replacement and then hits for him in the same inning.
Right.
I mean, it absolutely made no sense whatsoever.
Well, and that's not even some of the dumbest stuff that happened. The one that I will get to and just eviscerate when we talk Dusty Baker, and again, saddle up because that's coming at 11. Bases loaded, Matt Wieters at the plate. You did not pinch hit for Wieters, who has mostly been an out in this series. Had a beautiful bunt base hit, which was incredible last night.
It was awesome.
And had two hits in the game. You have Adam Lind in the highest leverage situation you can possibly use him on your bench. Now, Barry Sverlugo, who I believe is joining the show next hour, tweeted me and said, there's a left-handed pitcher pitching. I'm at the game. I can see that he's left-handed. Adam Lind hits better against left-handed pitcher than he did right-handed pitchers this year. By the way, well over 300. There's not a rule in baseball that you cannot pinch hit a left-hander against a left-hander. By the way, that left-hander has given up two extra base hits to left-handers in this inning. Bryce Harper, left-handed. Daniel Murphy, left-handed. Both have extra base hits. Joe Maddon, half inning later, by the way, would pinch hit a left-hander against a left-hander, and he would hit a ball off the top of the fence that almost went out of the yard. You're allowed to do that. Please pinch hit your best hitter in a bases-loaded situation when you now have all the momentum. And if you don't want to pinch hit Adam Lind there, you want to wait until you get a right-handed matchup later, even though he hits worse against right-handers than left-handers. That's fine. He's a 300 hitter in that capacity, too. Two words. Howie Kendrick. Not pinch hitting for Wieters was inexcusable. The only way you can just tell me, well, he didn't pinch hit for Wieters there for a reason. See, he doesn't want to lose Wieters defensively for the rest of the game, because even though he had a terrible inning, and I'm sure he'll get crushed for that all offseason, he did a good job this year calling pitches. Had a great series getting pitchers through jams. I can't lose him defensively, except that they replaced Matt Wieters in the next half inning with Jose Lobaton, and because of a double switch, he was the second batter to bat in the upcoming frame for the Nationals. So you chose not to pinch hit for Wieters, to keep him in the game, only to replace him in the next half inning with Lobaton, who then, because of a double switch, was the second batter due up and is the worst hitter on your playoff roster. Wrap your head around all of that, and then you can tell me how mean I am about Dusty. But, I mean, I got a list here. First inning, third inning, fifth inning, sixth inning, two in the seventh inning of things that made absolutely no sense. We'll get through all of them. We're going to do this together today. Don't worry. Let's go to Amanda in Winchester. Hey, Amanda.
What's up, Amanda?
Hey, guys. Sorry, I sound like crap today.
Us it was too. Good barely yesterday.
Hey, you guys, too. I am so jealous of your numbness, because I am the opposite of numb. I feel like an open wound this morning. It is awful. I'm 40 years old. I turned 40 this year. Been a lifelong DC sports fan. This one, I wish felt better because you went down with your best guys, but to me, it feels worse. Everything was right. We put Scherzer out there. You had your best guys, you know, and then everything went wrong. Every possible weird, quirky, fluky thing, every call in against the Nats. This is that being there at that game last night, where the roller coaster of maybe we're going to win, no, we're going to lose, maybe we can get back in it. That was the most painful fan experience of my 40 years as DC sports fandom, and that is a high bar in this town.
I feel terrible, Amanda, for fans like you. You do everything right. You know, you could barely talk today because you were so loud. It was awesome seeing you.
Drove in from Winchester at 2 p.m. to make
probably
sure she was there
home.
And everything.
What, did she say what time she got home?
She didn't.
I missed it. Probably
imagine
3 a.m.
As late as me.
I mean, what are we doing here?
I was fine. Last I was numb to it, as we talked about. I was obviously not happy, but ticked off. My 4-year-old this morning asked me, Daddy, did the Nats win last night? And when I told him no, and his lip crawled up, and he got real sad because he knew how sad it made me. And I'm going, what, am I a bad parent? Am I a bad person raising him as a DC sports fan? Is this a mistake?
No.
Have I made an error? Take up chess. Take up somebody that can't break your heart like this.
He needs to know. I mean, what, are you going to give him a trophy all the time, too? He needs to know that
things
aren't going to go
his way. He ain't getting trophies. He's not getting trophies.
Then just let him suffer with the rest of us.
Take up figure skating or something.
Toughen him up a little bit. I've been doing it since I was four. I'm still here. Let's go to Mike in Gaithersburg. What's up, Mike?
Mike.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Chill.
Not great this morning, dude.
Man, me either. All right, look, man. Give you a little bit of backstory. I hope you bear with me. Look, my pop passed on July 21st.
Sorry to hear.
And he was the biggest Nationals fan. We actually buried him with a Nationals banner around his casket. Okay. I don't know why we did not use Tanner Roark throughout this entire series. I was thinking either it was either going to be Max Scherzer or it was going to be Tanner Roark, one of the two. When I saw Gio, I was like, I'm not too sure about this, man. I just wasn't too sure about it. I think that we should have went, and my heart is hurting, man. Like I was in tears. I was in tears last night, man, because I didn't understand everything that went on. Please tell me what you think.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate you. So Scherzer was not an option to start on 2 days rest. I guess what you technically could have done, and this would have been so against the book that it never would have happened. I don't think it would have been a good idea, but they don't do things against the book anyway. Whatever the book is, they just read it page for page with their current coaching structure.
Stay with the book, please.
Yes, and they just hand you the book, and you'll know exactly what they're going to do. But you don't start a guy who's not going to give you more than a couple innings. And best case scenario last night, Scherzer was going to give you two. If he got through that inning with eight pitches and he got through the next with seven, you know, maybe they could bring him out for a third. I don't know. It's 2 days rest. So the only option for Max was out of the bullpen, which he hadn't done since 2013 in the division series for Detroit. Roark or Gio were the options. Danny and I both were on record yesterday saying we would have started Roark.
But I'm not going to do revisionist. I wasn't going nuts if they started
same,
Gio.
And that's what I'm about to say. Same thing. We were both also on record as saying if you start Gio, that's okay. Neither of us had a big issue with that. The problem with Gio is that clearly it was bad Gio very early. There was no reason to let that linger as long as it did. The most important inning in the entire series, despite everything that happened after it, was the top of the third inning after the Michael Taylor home run.
That's a great point.
The Nats are up 4-1. It's the shift after a goal in hockey. Can you get off the ice and still quell whatever momentum and burst that the team gets to try to get back into the game? If you could do that, you're probably going to win. And that's an all-hands-on-deck inning where you get your bullpen up, you get Albers ready, you do not allow multiple runs, you do not allow them to get back into the game. And Gio was just, without a safety net out there, walking the tightrope with no help behind him, and I just kept looking at the bullpen, flabbergasted that nobody was getting up.
Two walks in the inning. That, to me, is, we don't have a level for how inexcusable that is. The two walks in the inning, that's what undid it, because that leads to your wild pitch. It leads to just routine contact on a what would have been a double play ground ball, but Addison Russell beats it out.
Another guy who works his butt off, another guy who's great in the community, another guy who gave them a hell of a season and has been a successful piece to this great organization the last few years.
Could not be a better dude.
You can't be mad at him today, but you can say Gio Gonzalez didn't give them much of a chance to win. And in game fives, that is how it's gone to con for him in this town. Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Guys, Danny Rouillet for my pals at Draft. I love Draft. I've been working it for each of these first several weeks of the NFL season. It is so much fun. I don't know what you're waiting for. If you love fantasy football and you're like me, if you love daily fantasy and you're like me, this combines the best of both of those worlds, and it is so much fun. Now they've got some big multiplayer tournaments. They've got head-to-head tournaments that you can do for as little as a buck, and you got an 80% chance, better chance rather, of winning than the normal salary cap sites. Did I mention there's no salary cap? Here's what you do. You do a live snake draft. Get in whenever you want. Three-person leagues, two-person leagues, 6, 12, 10, whatever you want to do, they've got it for you. Win cold, hard cash. You don't have to deal with season-long injuries. You don't have to deal with somebody else thinking of your same lineup as you. No siree. You just go and get in and win your money based on your drafts. Each week, live drafts. I cannot tell you how much fun this is. Jason from the Junkies has been doing it. Dukes has been doing it. I love it. Been challenging listeners every week in my leagues. It's been awesome. So here's what you do. Go to the Draft app or just search Draft in the App Store, right, on your cellular device, or go to draft.com. Then when you make your first deposit, use my promo code. That's 1067Danny, 1067Danny. You know what you get? Is a free play when you make that first deposit. Go Draft and get in the game.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.